Our Bible reading for today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 through 16. So let's open up our Bible and read together 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Now we're talking about marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. We're talking about some of the characteristics of a faithful gospel preacher. This section actually begins in verse 6. Because there, Paul begins to talk to Timothy, a young preacher, about his life and his work as a gospel preacher. And he tells him how to be a faithful and a good minister of Jesus Christ. So today, we pick up with these marks, and we're down to number 7 now in verse 13. Let's read verses 13 through 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, mark number 7 of a faithful gospel preacher is found in verse 13. And that is, a good minister of Jesus Christ must give strict attention to the teaching of the word. Look at verse 13 again. Paul said, "Till I come, give attendance," that is, give attention to these three things: reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Now, I want to begin at the last part of this verse and work back toward the front of it, and I'll do that for a reason. When you look at the word doctrine, you're looking at the word for teaching. So Paul says to Timothy, you make sure that you give attention to your teaching. Well, the word before that is the word exhortation. Timothy was to urge the brethren. This is a part of the work of a gospel preacher, to exhort, to encourage the brethren to do what the Bible says. And of course, this would entail the preacher applying the Bible to those people. And this brings us back to the first thing that Paul mentioned in verse 13 that Timothy was to give attention to. That is, Timothy was to give attention to reading. Now, the question here is Paul talking about the reading that a preacher would do in private as he prepares for his lessons? Is he talking about the individual private reading that Timothy was to do? And we're talking, of course, about the reading of Scripture. Or is he talking about the public reading of Scripture before that church assembly? Is he talking about reading the Scriptures aloud to the people that he's preaching to? Now, oftentimes in the Bible, you'll find that there's an emphasis placed on the public reading of the Bible. This was not something that was a burden to the people back in the first century, and it should not be a burden to people today. People ought to be happy to hear the Bible, and a preacher should not be afraid to publicly read sections of the Bible. In Colossians 4, verse 16, Paul said, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." Now again, he's talking about especially the public reading of the Bible, the public reading of these letters in the church assembly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27, Paul said, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." He's talking about the public reading of the Word of God. And this, of course, is something that the Jews were used to, because in their synagogues, the reading of a portion of the Bible was a customary part of their services. And so we find Jesus himself reading the Scriptures in Luke chapter 4 in Nazareth. We find in Acts 13, 15, the reading of the Bible and then the exhortation after that. So because the word doctrine here refers to the teaching of the Bible in the worship assembly, and because the exhorting here is also public, then it seems like that the reading here would also be the public reading of the Scriptures. So these three words describe well the work of preaching and teaching the Word of God. And every preacher needs to go back to this verse from time to time to see if what he's doing is in line with what Paul says. When we preach and when we teach the Word of God as gospel preachers, first of all, we need to give attention to the reading of the Word of God. Then we need to give attention to the exhorting or the exhortation that we're to give to the brethren. And thirdly, we're to give attention to the teaching, the doctrine. That is, we're to explain and elaborate and rightly divide the Word of truth. And the focus, of course, and the source book for all of this is the Bible. In verse 14, Paul gives another mark for Timothy to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, and that is that Timothy was not to neglect the gift that was in him. Paul lived, and Timothy lived, in the days of miracles, and Paul gave this miraculous gift to Timothy. We know that because of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. So how did Timothy get this gift? Paul said it was in him by the putting on of Paul's hands. So we have a direct answer to the question in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul gave Timothy this gift. And Paul said, you need to use this gift. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't hesitate. So there's a very practical lesson here. We don't have a miraculous gift today like Timothy did, but we do have abilities and we do have opportunities, and preachers ought to use them. Now you might ask, well, what is he talking about here when he describes the circumstances of this gift? He said that this gift was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. What is Paul talking about, and what does all this mean? The best commentary that I know of in the Bible on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, would be Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Here is where Paul and Barnabas were chosen to be the evangelist and these missionaries on this first missionary journey. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit said to separate Barnabas and Saul for this work, and when that happened, they fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Why did they lay hands on them? To appoint them to the work. They did not lay hands on the Apostle Paul to give him the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had already been given to Paul. Paul had more of the Holy Spirit than those men did. So the laying on of hands there was to appoint him as a symbol, a sign, a representation of their approval and their support for that work. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it seems that we have something similar here. When Paul gave Timothy that spiritual gift, which he said he did in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, there was a statement made by the Holy Spirit on that occasion. The Holy Spirit said that Timothy was to either receive that gift or that he was appointed to a certain work. So the Holy Spirit spoke, and that means that there was prophecy given. And on that same occasion, these elders laid hands on Timothy, not to give him a miraculous gift, but to appoint him to that work. There's no evidence anywhere in the New Testament that anyone outside of the apostles had the power to lay hands on someone to give them a spiritual, that is, a miraculous gift. This laying on of hands here was for a different reason. Now, the word presbytery in the King James Version means the eldership. That's how it's translated in the New King James Version. It refers to a body of elders. And here, of course, it refers to elders in the church. Mark number 9 of a good minister of Jesus Christ, or a faithful gospel preacher, that Paul gives to Timothy in this section is found in verse 15, and that is, a faithful gospel preacher must meditate on the Scriptures. Paul says in that verse, verse 15, meditate upon these things. Don't just read them and then put them down and forget them. Read them and then meditate. Consider what Paul has said. Ponder what Paul has said. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, something similar. He said, consider what I say. So it's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to meditate on the Bible. And Psalm 1, verse 2 says that the man of God meditates on the Word of God day and night. This takes time. It takes a lot of time. A preacher has to have room, and he must make the time to think. If he's so busy with other things that he cannot meditate on the Word of God and really study it and think it through, then his preaching is going to suffer. And if he does not study, if he does not put the time and the work in his study, he just pulls out an old sermon outline or he finds some kind of sermon outline and he tries to preach it, his preaching will never be what it ought to be. And if he thinks that he can just get up before a group, that he doesn't have to study, then the people that are listening to him are going to realize that he didn't put anything into it to begin with. Paul said to put time into the meditating upon the Word of God. This is very, very important, and it causes us to see the Bible, to have insights into its meaning, and to see how it applies, and it enables us to rightly divide the Word of truth. There is no substitute in the life and work of a gospel preacher for meditating on the Scriptures. Mark number 10, a preacher must give his whole heart to the work. That's verse 15. Paul said, give thyself wholly to them. To be a preacher, a man must be committed. He must have a burning desire to preach. He must have such a desire to preach that he won't really be satisfied if he does anything else. The older preachers used to say to younger preachers years ago, if you can do anything else, don't preach. In other words, if you can be satisfied doing anything else, then don't get into preaching. Make sure that your heart is really into it. So a preacher's heart has to be into what he's doing. He has to love it. He must not be half-hearted. He must not be double-minded. He must not be distracted by worldly pleasures and worldly cares, because people will see this and they'll be influenced by him. So Paul said to give yourself wholly to these things so that your profiting may appear to all. People will see this. And if he follows what Paul is saying here, they will respect him. And number 11, Paul said, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Take heed, that is, give attention. Examine yourself. Examine your own heart, your own attitude, your own words, and your own deeds. Now, Paul has already told Timothy to be a good example in verse 12. And even Paul himself had to be careful. He had to give attention to his own life. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. So Paul said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That's verse 16. The doctrine is the teaching, the truth, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So preachers must give care and attention to this. A preacher must give heed to his teaching so that he applies the teaching fairly. He must not change it. He must not add to it or subtract from it. And that is very serious because in James 3, verse 1, the Bible tells us that teachers of the Word of God will be judged more severely. James 3, verse 1. If a preacher does this, Paul says he will save himself and the ones that hear him. And it's important for a preacher to remember that he can get so focused on trying to get others to do right that he neglects his own spiritual life. Paul said to make sure that you save yourself and those that hear you, you must continue giving heed to yourself and to the doctrine.